This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. What's the shame in having a cold sandwich and a glass of juice for lunch? Well, if your classmates are chowing down on trays full of pork chops, mashed potatoes, and cobbler, you have just been outed. As a kid whose family wasn't able to pay the 40 cents required for a federally subsidized reduced-price lunch. When students' accounts run out of cash, there are consequences in the cafeteria. Lunch shaming is one of them. But school lunch debt in North Carolina adds up to serious dollars. Joining me today is Rebecca Miel. She started an online campaign aimed at paying down Durham Public Schools school lunch debt. Rebecca, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Also with us, Lyndon Thayer. She is co-founder of the Food Insight Group, a food systems consulting firm. Lyndon, welcome.
Thank you.
Lyndon, let me ask you just to talk for a second about how the school lunch program works. You know, who pays? And when I talk about a deficit of $100,000 that I'm going to mention here in a minute, you know, where does that deficit from what? How does the system work?
Sure. So school lunch has to operate independently from the rest of the school system. They have to operate essentially as a private business, and they're expected to cover all of their expenses from the cost of food to labor to indirects such as water and gas, which they pay indirects to the school system itself. And as such, they have to operate with very thin margins because most of their funding is coming from the federal level. And reimbursement rates for free, paid, and reduced price meals are relatively low.
All right. So you've got this business on the side running it as though it's not part of school, right? Which we can talk about that in a minute. Why is that not part of school? Subsidized. Where do all the subsidies then come from the federal government? What's the other revenue stream? Obviously, students, and if they're paying full freight, they're paying their share, right, of the meal.
Sure. So in North Carolina, we're one of very few states that only brings in federal funds. There are no additional state funds coming from the legislature. Most other states in the United States do have extra coming at the state level. And then you do have kids who are paying a full price for the meal, will pay somewhere between $2 and $2.75 in most counties in North Carolina. And then reduced price kids will pay 40 cents for a lunch.
All right. So that's the revenue stream. How does this lunch debt arise?
Sure. Lunch debt can come from a number of places. The first could be that families who are eligible for free or reduced price lunches don't complete the paperwork. And then their children will rack up a debt if they're not paying on top of that. It could be that students pay for a la carte items out of what was maybe a parent who paid in some money. And then when they surpass the amount the parent put in, they run out. And it could also be from students who are they have paid in, and then over time they've bought reimbursable meals and they've run out of money as well.
All right. So we'll talk about what happened, and these deficits we're talking about that school lunch programs are running, not just in Durham. Apparently, this is happening all over the country, right?
Yes. The most notable instance recently was in New Mexico. There was a great uproar over a four-year-old who was got to the head of the line, and she was out of money in her account. And she was denied the meal, and the meal was thrown out in the trash in front of her. And that is what sparked a lot of this recent discussion.
Well, Rebecca, talk about what you learned about Durham schools and how you got involved.
Yeah, so I think for me, the seed for this idea was Flando Castile's Memorial Fund. Was to pay down, he was a teacher, to pay down his school lunch debt. And I knew that there were some other organizers who'd done this previously in Durham. So I called Jim Keaton, the head of the director of nutrition services at Durham Public Schools. And I first thought it would just be a few thousand dollars. And when he told me the total deficit starting only this school year, so since August 25th, is already $103,000, I was shocked. The first goal was to raise $4,500 for the reduced lunch students, and I met that goal in 12 hours. So that was a signal to me that this is something that's important to Durham, Durham community.
$100,000 from essentially, you did this in November, right, or December?
A month ago. A month ago. So, yeah.
So from basically September to November, $100,000 in debt. So that means somehow there's not enough money in the kitty to begin with, right? I mean, that's at least a suggestion that maybe we're underfunding this. So you step up, you get people to respond, and they do. The city of Durham, businesses, who all kicked into this?
There's been, an incredible, there's over 700 individual donors. And as of right now, there's about 50 business donors, everyone from Parker and Otis to Roe, Tutti Frutti, and even the band Sylvanesso donated a significant amount to the account.
You spoke with some teachers and school counselors. What did they tell you happens when students' accounts run out?
So I talked to a friend who's was a middle school teacher, and she had talked about how at this point in the year she noticed that there are some kids who just don't eat all day because they have an overdue account, and then they get the cold lunch. And the other students in the classroom or in the cafeteria start recognizing what that means. So instead of eating the cold lunch, they just opt out.
So this is kind of lunch shaming, and they recognize
exactly.
That they're going to so they don't eat at all. Part of what we're talking about here is a systemic problem, and I know you stepped up and you solved the problem, at least for now, in the city of Durham, and a lot of heroes stepped forward to help out. But you're also looking at and making reform a part of your platform, are you not?
Yeah, that's important to me. I think this is a stopgap in the short term, and I'm happy to share how I did this as a model for other communities in North Carolina. But what's really important to me is to start this discussion with teachers and PTAs and organizers and the school district about what it would mean to have free lunch or just how to make sure this problem doesn't happen again.
What does it mean? Linda, let's talk about this systemically. Is this you know, people just not paying their fair share, not paying enough for lunch, or is there something at the policy level we should be looking at with all of these school systems running short of food money?
Sure. So at the end of the day, there's not enough money in the system to do school lunch right. And we were discussing earlier, if math and science and English are an important part of the school day and we don't charge extra for them, I would argue that school lunch should be exactly the same way. And we should be figuring out a way at a policy level to make school lunch part of the school day so it's equitable and it's sort of servicing the needs of the whole student body. And so to that end, there are numerous ways in which there's not enough money in the system. And
what are some of those? I mean, you talk about the state of North Carolina being one of the few that doesn't supplement the federal subsidy. Talk about that and whether or not anything could be done in the state of North Carolina to fix that.
Sure. So the state of North Carolina currently puts in a very small amount towards school breakfast and nothing towards school lunch. And all it would take would be, in quotes, an act of the legislature to pass. It would be fairly relatively simple to put in language to say that we are going to put in X dollars towards each school lunch meal. Politically, it's a challenge.
Politically, it's a challenge to feed children. No, politically, it's a challenge to raise taxes to actually pay for the service that you're going to get, which is education. Are we having this discussion? It seems to me that this does suggest a public policy discussion. Are we as a nation committed to public education? If so, is food part of that? And if so, what does that cost? And how are we going to find the money?
Absolutely. And I would agree that it should be part of the top of our national agenda.
Is it anywhere? I mean, is anybody taking it on and framing the question that way?
Right. For example, New York City Public Schools now offers free lunch to all children always. And they are figuring out ways to fund that program. And so they've stepped up and said school lunch is important and we're going to make it a priority. So, yes, there are certainly models.
Rebecca, you talked about this being important to you, looking at systemic ways to make sure that you don't have to do GoFundMe campaigns every 6 months. What are you exploring and what are you hearing from other people as you begin your campaign?
So I think in January, there's going to be a kickoff meeting to just get as many people in the room to talk about what it would mean to have free lunch and then find a way to stop this from happening over and over.
You know, it's interesting, Lyndon. I want to stress this again. We talk about free lunch, and of course, the phrase itself, free lunch, right? There are no free lunches, right? So it, in a way, it's a stigmatized phrase. But put in the context that you suggested earlier, well, it's free math, it's free English, right? I mean, it's free education. And if we think about if we're committed to free education, that is public education, this needs to be part of it. Is that going to be a hurdle? Is just getting lunch to be understood as part of a quality education because you can't learn if you're hungry?
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a branding problem with school lunch. And there's also, I mean, the system has been built over decades and brought us to a point where as we talked about at the top of the hour, the school lunch operates separately from the rest of the school. And so we haven't set up a system where it's sort of designed to merge together and to sort of work collaboratively between the cafeteria and the principal's office to make it happen. So we really need to step back and perhaps even step out of the current system, build a new model, test it, and then come back in and try again.
Rebecca, I'm wondering if you were, you know, in talking to the businesses that stepped up and helped out in this case, if they were surprised to hear that we're even, that this is the system we have and that it falls so woefully short so quickly.
Yeah, a lot of the businesses and individuals that I talked to have been surprised and have wanted to also contribute in a way to find a solution, and they didn't know that this debt, I mean, I didn't know that this debt was this high, so that it was this high and that this is the way it operates.
It's interesting. I mean, one of the things, I guess, that counties can do, if the counties wanted to participate, is then it becomes a tax question, right? Because then it would become part of their property tax structure in many cases.
Yeah, it would be increasing property taxes could potentially be a way to fund
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, then you've got the state and federal level as well. Yeah. So all kinds of creative ways that you could do it if you were committed to the process. Mm-hmm. And your organization, EdNC, has got a poll going right now to talk about this. What do you know about that poll?
Sure. So EdNC is working on collecting and voices from across North Carolina to engage communities around important issues like school lunch. And so if people are interested, they can text the word lunch to the number 73224, and that will bring you into the conversation.
All right. Well, I've been happy to have this conversation with you. Linda Thayer is co-founder and director of research and innovation at the Food Insight Group. Rebecca Miel is creator of the GoFundMe campaign to pay down Durham School's lunch debt. Thank you both so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want more information about that poll that you can participate in and reach NC Voices, it's an initiative of the EdNC. You can check out our website, stateofthings.org, and find out how you can connect and be part of that discussion. Just ahead, the hashtag MeToo movement says, and what it says about masculinity in our country. Are our ideas changing? We'll have that conversation on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.